All right, let's not get into it. I just wanted to read that because I know a lot of people don't hear stuff. And I just wanted to bring it out. You know, this is a faith meeting, and God was never once mentioned. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so push that button. Push it one more time. Stop right there. All right. We are discussing evangelism. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's probably a better scripture, and maybe I'll search it out, that better talks about evangelism. But we are to go out and proclaim the gospel, right? Proclaim the good news. And this is what we're talking about. And the other part of it, or one of the ingredients of effective evangelism, is apologetics. Not apologizing. I always want to remind you, in case anyone's here for the first time, we're not apologizing for God or for what we believe. It is giving a defense out of First Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense. And that's where the word apologetics comes from. That word defense is apologia in Greek, and that's where that word comes from. Give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, and this is so important, do it with gentleness and respect. And that's what we're here to learn. How do I present this good news that Christ died for people, that you can live ever, forever in the kingdom of God, forgiven for your sins? And when they see this part where he says, give a defense to anyone who asks you, they're not going to come up to you and go, hey, can you give me a defense for the hope that is in you? It's never going to come like that. But when you are trying to present the gospel to somebody, when you are effectively evangelizing them, those questions will come up. Well, why is this or why is that? Or they'll just present an argument. Well, I think this. Okay? So there's all kinds of ways to look at it. But he clearly says be prepared, right? Be ready. Oh, prepared. Be prepared.
I'm laughing because if somebody in that meeting would have stood up and said, here's what we can do. Get on our knees right now and ask Jesus to heal this land.
It really made me wonder who they sought out to invite to this fake meeting. Because that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, look, we're having this meeting. The people showed up. This is the faith leaders. Ain't no leader I know. Yeah, but you're right. If one of them said, hey, I know the answer. Let's get on our knees and plead to God for forgiveness. Let's turn this thing around. Nope, didn't happen. So anyways, as I wanted to do, I brought these two together, pushed the button one last time. Evangelism and apologetics is now in this church officially known as evangetics. Suzanne, can you animate? Okay. Blending the Great Commission with a great defense. Okay. I've been using this. I meet with a couple guys on Thursday morning, a believer of many, many years, a former associate pastor, Sunday school teacher, and I said, teaching evangelics on Thursday night. And he said, what? I said, evangelics. And I explained it, and he goes, that's really good. So I had to get it approved on the outside a little bit. But really, these two things go together, right? I've been talking about that a lot. As I said from the beginning, people do want to know about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. They are curious. It's all around us. It's in our society. More and more, we have people who have not raised their kids that way. They're now not raising their kids that way. And some people now have no idea what we're talking about. It's so alien to them. It's like learning Chinese. They're like, don't even know where to begin. They don't even think there's a need of a God. It's really a strange thing. But for the most part, the people we're going to talk to are a little older and they do know. And they do want to know. And see, if we can reach them, they can reach their children and their grandchildren. So you do have an audience. And I want to make that really clear. It doesn't matter how old you are, you have an audience. Doesn't matter what work you're in or not in, what circles you run in, you have an audience. Your duty is to recognize that God put you in a circle of people, and you're the one that's supposed to say something. Have you ever realized that at the family gatherings? You look around, you're like, oh no, I'm the one that should be talking about Jesus. And if I don't, who will? Nobody will. Right? So it's really important. People do want to know. And if you seem like a stable, logical, church-going Christian, you're going to find that people will at least be curious as to what it is you believe. What do you believe? What is it? What do you know about it? Why do you believe it? And this is what I've been talking about. We need to know why we believe it too. And I went with what is the gospel? What is this message? And we're going to begin, at the very beginning. In the beginning. What was in the beginning? God. That's you could stop right there. In the beginning, God. That's where it begins. Now, when we want to know the outcome of something, like, tell me, what's the deal? What's the story? And I brought this up last week. We often get that two-part question, what do you want to know first, the good news or the bad news? And that's really where it's a good place to start. I tried it out last Friday in the hospital. I said, well, I got something to tell you. You want the good news or the bad news? And, well, first I tell them I'm not a doctor. Let me back up a step. I make it really clear. I have a badge. I'm like, I'm Pastor Mike. I'm a chaplain at the hospital. I have a church in Pasco County, and I volunteer here just to come by and check on you and hopefully cheer you up if I can or pray with you. That be all right? And they go, sure. So now I got something to tell you. You want the good news or the bad news? And that's it. And that's where I begin. So easy to do that kind of stuff. So to better understand what the good news is when it comes to the gospel, we have to first understand what the bad news is. And that's why we need to go back and establish some really basic fundamentals. How do we get here? That's a very basic thing. Then we can start talking about the fall, right? Because if you have people that don't even believe in God, the fall just doesn't matter. I don't care what you tell me about Adam and Eve. That's a fairy tale and you've lost me. But if you can get me going, yeah, I never thought about that. God is in creation. It's obvious. You're right. And if he is, and this is why I always follow up with, and if he is, if that is true and you believe that, wouldn't that God have said something to us? Don't you think he would have let us know? And they go, yeah. I'm like, he did. He did. And he starts off with this couple in the Garden of Eden. You probably heard of Adam and Eve. I'm sure, have you ever heard of them? Oh, yeah, I heard of them. So you kind of walk people into that type of talk. So the biggest hurdle to clear is, the bad news. How did we get here? So going back to creation or God in the cosmos, how did we get here? A precondition to finding the truth, okay, assuming that's what people are seeking, and I do assume it. People get caught up in their everyday lives, but in the middle of all that, they kind of want to know, what am I here for? Does anybody have their true answer? And that's what we have, don't we? We have the real truth. And so one of the preconditions to finding truth is obviously you have to seek the truth. So we have to be willing to weigh all evidence and then determine if that evidence supports or reveals a truth. Okay, this ain't big talk. We're just presenting God that supports this truth, or presenting explanation that supports the truth of God. Now, a person who's determined to reject any evidence for God's existence is not seeking the truth. If they're like, I just don't believe it, I don't want to believe it, they're not seeking truth. And that's a place to stop. Well, aren't you curious about the truth? Aren't you at least a bit curious as to what your life is, has any meaning at all? And then they kind of get like, yeah. Does it have any meaning? Yeah. Yeah, it has a lot of meaning. But if they're not seeking the truth, then they're purposely suppressing any evidence of the possibility, and they want to hold dearly to their atheistic views. So these are all points of, I can't go any further. If the person's not going to even say I'm seeking the truth, you know, you really have nowhere else to go. But if you are logical, polite, gentle and respectful, according to Peter, they'll open up a little bit more to you. And they'll allow you, they'll give you that, at least they'll listen to you. I've had many people do that. I tell you about the big tattooed biker guy that warned me before I said a word, as soon as I announced who I was. I'm so atheist that you can't even call me an atheist. And I'm like, wow, that's really atheist. And I thought, well, there's nothing I can say to this guy. And I still, every time I think about it, I'm amazed. 15, 20 minutes into it, he's telling me about when he was in 8th grade, I think it was, or 8 years old. There was an 8 in there. How a Sunday school teacher wronged him. And that was it. Shut the door on God. And that's why it's so important that we don't be that person that slams the door on God by going, well, you're going to go to hell then. You don't listen to me, you're dead. And people go like, fine. I didn't believe it in the first place. I don't believe it even more now. And this guy wouldn't believe it. Amazing. Anyway, we have to approach that person with gentleness and respect. So how do we present God in what's known as the cosmos of the universe, we call it, or present God in creation in the beginning, right? So the question being asked, whether you hear audibly or not from the person, is there a God? Is there really a God? It's a big question. See, and this is where we got to really be careful to not be so Christian that we're like, of course there is, it's obvious. And take your steps. I mean, that's what we're trying to learn here tonight. Is there a God? At this point, you've already professed your faith in God, and now it's time to defend your hope in Him, right? This is a little bit where apologetics comes out. Some people, and I mean not just a few people, actually have compared believing in God with believing in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. You ever had that argument? They compare believing in God to believing in Santa Claus or believing in the Easter Bunny. They're just fairy tales. Like, you believe that? And they're not so far off, because I can remember, and these are little points of light that God keeps in my mind. I remember finding out that those things weren't real. I don't know what age I was. But the reality, my mom basically admitting that those things aren't real. You know where my mind went? Then God probably isn't either. This is another invisible being that they've told me about. Why are we going to church? So people do that, and they will do that to you. Sometimes they do it because they're trying to belittle your God, and they're trying to belittle the situation. I've heard fairy tales numerous times from people. You believe all them fairy tales? I'm like, I wouldn't if that's what they were. A good place to begin is by reminding them that there are many well-educated people that believe in God. Do you agree? There are no well-educated people that believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Do you agree with that? Right, and they immediately go, oh. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Some of the greatest people that have ever lived believed in God. Not one of them believed in Santa Claus. Matter of fact, do you go around declaring your disbelief in Santa Claus? They go, no, I don't. I'm like, then why do you do that about God if they're the same thing? And they realize, oh, yeah, why am I doing that? What is in you that is causing you to want to go against God, but you don't go against every other fairy tale? You don't make it your, you don't have a bumper sticker that says Santa Claus is fake, do you? Yeah, you don't have to. Actually, you'd be frowned on pretty bad by parents, wouldn't you? But that's a good place to start. A lot of educated people, a lot of smart people, a lot of well-known, substantial people in the world believe in God. None of them believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and so on. So this at least establishes that whether God exists or not is a question that's on a whole different level from the existence of fairy tale figures. It's an adult-sized discussion. And believe me, they start listening when you talk that way. This is adult talk. Should I go on? And they go, well, that's what they... Sure. Sure. Okay. Gentleness and respect. God is not proposed as an explanation of something that can be otherwise explained. Okay? God's not an alternative to it. God is the only satisfactory explanation for the existence of life and the universe. It's a good statement to make. It's the only satisfactory explanation. And when they go, well, I believe in evolution, say, oh, like a scientist, can you explain the details? Do you understand what it is you're saying? Well, no. There's no argument, suddenly. So you always got to be very careful to diffuse statements that you feel are challenging you, and then just move on to the next thing with gentleness and respect. The most common explanation for the unbelieving population, and let's call them that, okay? There's unbelievers. We talk in general about unbelievers as what? They don't believe in Christ. But people don't believe in God. That's a real starting point. Jesus says in one place, you believe in God, you do well. What else? No, believe also in me. You believe in God, you do well, believe also in me. You know, because what is he saying there? That's one of those deity statements. You believe in God, you need to believe in me. Sent by God, going back to God, am God, and so on. So, but the most common explanation for the unbelieving population, and that's a big swath of people, they don't believe in God. I've told you before, it's the fastest growing segment in the polls of religion. It's God, Muslim, you know, whatever, Buddha, and atheist. And it's the fastest growing one. That's something else. But that also gives us a huge audience, a growing audience. Reason is, for years and years and years, Christians have blown it. You're a sinner, you're going to hell. If you don't believe it, it ain't my problem, you're going to go to hell. And bashing Bible talk and bumper stickers, t-shirts, and hats. You know, I don't like any of those things that just... I don't mind them, okay? I'm not coming against the street corner guy, although what a waste of time. But we need to be logical, intelligent Christians and reach people the right way. What's the most common explanation for the unbelieving population for the existence of the universe? The Big Bang. Did you all think that and just be afraid to say it? That's what everyone thinks. Because that's the only alternative explanation there is, if you think about it. What's the third one? But where'd they come from? See, I've been challenged with that. Well, I think we were seeded by aliens. I go, where'd they come from? Well, I don't know. I'm like, well, what do you think? Well, I guess the Big Bang. They must have come some... Yeah, because we're all here in the same universe. Aliens are this universe, aren't they? And they go, well, yeah. Okay, so I'm talking about the universe. I'm not talking about specific planets or Martians. Where did this all begin? And the Big Bang is the most common, widely accepted thing. And then evolution.
What caused
the Big Bang? Right. See, and that's where we want to be very like, oh, you believe that? Well, cool. You don't go, that's stupid. You go, oh, is that what your belief is? All right. I'm going to diffuse it soon. But okay, I respect you and I will gently help you to see how it just doesn't even make any sense. To attempt to explain the origin of the universe without God is what's being proposed. That's what they're saying. It started without God. In the beginning, nothing created everything. Is that what you're saying? Well, I guess. I'm trying to give you both sides of the talk.
Because first there was nothing.
Yeah, then it, exactly, then it exploded. That's it. So here we simply remind the person that nothing is the absence of something, right? Is that what you're saying? Nothing is nothing the absence of something. I guess that's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Yet, nothing is being spoken of here as if it possesses intelligence, energy, and some kind of will. Does that sound like nothing to you? Or does that sound like maybe even a person? Because it has power. It has intelligence. There's a will behind it. It's not just an explosion. I've seen explosions. We've all seen things explode. What came out of it? I mean, we could throw a stick of dynamite out there in the field. You think there's going to be a car after the smoke clears? Boom! And there's animals. You're like, no. It's just going to be a big hole and a mess. We can be reminded of what God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You see, there's things we think, and God lets you think them, and he says, I'm going to make them foolish. Now, you don't look like a foolish person, but this is what it is. It's either knowledge of truth, or you just got to cling on to foolish ideas that somehow this just happened. And sometimes I'll even go, it's just, every situation is unique, and that's why this is so hard. Because sometimes if I feel it's right, I'll say, you don't seem like that kind of person to me. Well, I'm not. Did you go to college? You know, I'll get off the subject. Talk about something else for a minute, then bring them back in. But God has indeed made foolish the wisdom of this world. But again, we have to be gentle how we present that level of wisdom. Because this is what you're doing, is sharing wisdom. People want to be smart, don't they? They want to be a little smarter than they were. I've been intimidated numerous times where I think, boy, this guy is, he is smarter than me. He has more education than me. He's done more than me. This is going to be really hard. Then I go, oh, that's right. I'm not doing it. The one who dwells in me is far more wiser than this man. And I pray, I'm going to need some help right this moment. I don't know what to say next. I can see the person's mouth moving and I'm going, and the Holy Spirit's going, come back with this. Believe me, don't sit there and go, that won't happen to me. Yes, it will. If you are faithful enough, the Holy Spirit will do that. Didn't Jesus say he would? Don't worry about what you're going to say in that hour. Don't worry about it. Your job is to be faithful and begin. When we talk about the matters of origin, how we got here, because again, a lot of people want to know that. How did we get here? Do you remember the first time you thought that? I think I was a teenager and I lived in a valley in California, and we had some pretty outstanding skies that night. I remember just laying there staring up at it with a friend, you know, laying in the grass when you're a kid, not thinking about all the ants and spiders, and just laying there staring at the sky, and I was just thinking, how did we get here? What is this? Anyone?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And that may be a detriment to you when you try to talk to people that have doubts and questions, you know? It's like, but you know what I mean? And that's what a lot of Christians have done. Well, what are you, stupid? Weren't you listening in Sunday school? They're like, I never went to Sunday school. Oh. You know, but that is a question that comes to most people's minds. At some point in their life, they realize what they are and they're like, how did I get here? What is this? Why did I get made? How about that one? Why did I get made? Why am I here? How about that? Forget all these other people. What am I doing here? You know. So anyways, these are kind of questions. When we talk about how we got here or our destiny, where are we going, or the invisible realities of morality, that's a real thing, morality. But it's invisible, right? The meaning of logic. What is logic? Can you touch it? No, but it's something that is absolutely real that you can make people think about. How about love? What is that? What is that? What is that power, that feeling that gets in me, that attraction, or I give my life for someone love? You know, what is that? You can't touch it, but it's a real thing, isn't it? And they acknowledge that that is real. Where'd that come from? Where did that come from? We could not have made these things up. Even if it evolved, how? At what point did an animal go, I think I'll die for that animal? It just doesn't even make any sense. Because the whole animal kingdom fights for its own life, and that's it. We'll even kill another one to live. So that don't make any sense. When we attempt to explain these things apart from God, we're always going to arrive at the same dead end of folly and absurdity. But we want to do it with gentleness and respect. A person literally has to deny what's obvious to maintain a belief in nothing. Because that's what we're saying. All these things came out of nothing. Is it possible? Now let's look at the reality of the physical world. We can all agree that this exists. And this is a good place to have a person that you're witnessing to come into agreement with you. It's a physical world. You see it, right? We all agree there's a physical world. This isn't a... Now, this is actually getting to be something that's starting to make way. A matrix. We're a program. See, because there are now computer programs that are an alternate world, virtual reality. You can make a city with people in it and control what they do and give them attributes. Starting to be little gods. So people are starting to think, well, that's what we are. And that movie The Matrix came out kind of based on that concept that there's just this big program that you're in. And I see these headlines catch me all the time. Did this woman see a glitch in the Matrix? I'm like, oh, what is it now? There's one that just came out the other day. This little kid's running through a yard. It looks dark. And there's a dog kind of bouncing behind him. It's probably just made up by the way the dog's bouncing. And you got to remember this, friends. As we move forward, they can make videos that look absolutely real that are not at all real. They're called deep fakes. Keep that in mind when you look at stuff. But this dog's running. The kid runs behind a tree, comes out the other side. The dog disappears for a moment and comes out from a shadow. Is that a glitch in the Matrix? I'm like, it's either trick video work, or I think as the kid ran by, the dog was right behind him and got into that shadow and then came out. And then, and they add to it. The dog looks confused, like it doesn't know what happened. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's a dog. They always look like that. So, these kind of things, though, are going to be challenging. And so we have to be ready to bring people. There's a physical world. We can all agree that this exists. Everything that we see, touch, taste, smell, and hear was at one time not in existence. Do you agree with that? These are questions so I ask people. Not in existence. That's what you're saying. If everything came from nothing, there was a time where what you see, what you hear, what you feel and smell, all those things once did not exist. I guess they didn't. Okay, right. So there had to be a starting point to all that. Yes, there had to be a starting point. And not only that, but the universe, the whole creation, is clearly fine-tuned to support human life. Would you agree with that? The sun doesn't burn us up. The moon doesn't rip us in half. Perfectly fine-tuned to support human life. Those two facts alone are intended by God to turn our thoughts to a creator and to a designer. That's why they're like that. God set it up in such a way that we should logically see that somebody obviously made this like this. Because we have been... Sorry? Touch, taste, smell, hearing, see, had to come into existence at some point. And that the fine-tuning of the universe to support human life. And that's one of my favorites to talk about. We've been searching for life elsewhere. You probably read about that. Yeah, I have. We haven't found anything. They call it a Goldilocks planet. Has to be just right. Not too hot, not too cold, this kind of star. We can't find one. Well, they might. My bet is they won't. But this one is in its perfect spot. 92 point something million miles from the sun. Our moon's one of the bigger moons for the size of our planet. It happens to be farther away than most of them. How do those things happen? How did that in sync with water being on it and all those things, do you think that really just is that? What's the chances of winning the lottery? Well, I don't know. The chances of that happening are astronomical compared to winning the lottery. In other words, it's really impossible. Right. Right. God knew exactly where we need to be. I mean, we know the slightest change would be devastating to our planet. They're worried about a 5-degree increase in the temperature. Kill everything. dry the place up. It's not that much. That's called fine-tuned. So it speaks of a creator and designer and not a random chaotic event. Okay. It's not a closing deal, but they're thinking about it now. The Bible wonderfully begins with these words in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What a beautiful place to start. If there was a creator, what would he tell you first? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I always like to point out and make this really clear. This tells us that at a point in time, in the infinite past, the universe began to exist. Not when, but how. And that's really important. Far too many Christians, again, that tells us it began right then when he wrote that. So it's 8,000 years old. It does not say that. It says in the beginning. When's in the beginning? When God first decided he was going to make something. I don't know when that was. I don't know if that was 10,000 years ago, 14 billion years ago is what scientists are trying to determine, or 40 billion years ago. I don't know. It doesn't tell me, and it's really not even important, is it? Is that important? I want you to really understand that. Don't make arguments about things that aren't important. When people go, well, it's 14 billion years old, and you think it's 8,000, I go, I never told you that. Well, don't Christians think that? I go, there are some that do. Well, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. The Bible says, in the beginning. That just tells me how he got here. It doesn't say when, and it's not even important when. Do you believe in dinosaurs? I sure do. We have bones. You know, logical, logical. Even the vast majority of scientists now agree on the fact that there was a starting point. That's where we got the Big Bang from. Because they go, well, there looks like a starting point. Looks like everything's going like this. Right? It's expanding. You know, the Bible says, and God spread out the heavens with his hand. Yeah. See, when you know scripture, you can use those kind of things. They go, well, there's proof. It's expanding. I go, I know. Did you know the sun's moving itself? Did you know the sun moves? The sun is actually flying through space at something like 40,000 miles an hour. Where's it going? And then we're stuck to it, spinning around it. And the Bible says God spread his hands, spread the heavens out with his own hand. That's phenomenal. See, the God I'm talking about is that big, not a religious figure that I cling to because I'm afraid of what's next. No, this God spoke and created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you have a question? Yeah. So that falls into the category of non-essentials for me. Some people like to cling to that and want to argue. In essentials, we should have unity, right? Essentials, doctrinal things. There's one God. You know, things like that. Jesus Christ is the only way. We have to have unity in that. In non-essentials, we have a bit of liberty. Okay? In everything, we should have charity, love. So, is it seven of our days? I don't know. I wasn't there. Nobody was. It's the language God used. It's called ancient Hebrew. And that's the language he told Moses that he made it. It does say day and night, and he called that the first day. Sounds to me like 24 hours. I'm okay with that. There's nothing in my God that couldn't create as much as he did in that span. Now, if you don't want to believe that, it's not going to change a whole lot. No, I'm just saying when you're talking to people, it's not going to change a whole lot about your status with God, that in your current state you're unacceptable to him because of sin. Did you want to jump right into that? I don't know. Sometimes you do. Sometimes that you've gone far enough. What about that? And let's get into it. So, and that's what I mean. Be careful not to get stuck on stuff that's like, we don't really know. But like I just said, the Bible does say, morning, evening, and there was a day. So I pretty much do believe it was a day. And I've heard the answers in Genesis argument that it could be all these other factors and it could be 1,000 years because the Bible says a day is as 1,000 years of God. So is that what it was? 7,000 years of creation? Does it need to be? It don't. No, I just said that. But if somebody wants to believe that, don't ruin it. That's what I'm saying. Fine. because that's not important how, you know, what timeline. What's important is that God. So if you got that far, you may have established that God created it. So you agree then that God created it. That's probably what I would say. Well, you want to talk about length of time, so you are agreeing that it was designed and created. I guess I am. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to get right off that and move on to the next thing. You know? All right. Now, scientists agree with that there was a beginning, but not all of them do. And that's where we get all these different views from all the time. As evidence came to light to support an absolute beginning, there are some that disagreed and still disagree, even though that was arrived at, proven by their own scientific methods. That's where it really gets... See, when you know these things and you tell people that, I didn't know that. Yeah, scientists apply their own methods to disprove God, found out it proves there was a designer. There was a time where we were excited in the church. It was when I first got saved. We were really excited that they were calling it was it intelligent design? Is that the phrase that was going around in the 90s? You know, man, that comes really close to saying there's a God when scientists were, and they quickly scrubbed that. And I mean scrubbed it out of the literature. Don't stop saying that. There were literally scientists going, stop saying intelligent design. It's just, make it as little as you possibly can. It's just something was made. We don't know how it got here. The beginning of the universe is a major, major headache for the unbeliever. And again, unbeliever in God. If someone believes in God and not Christ, you've already established God, you can move right into the gospel. Right? And that's what evangelism really is. But I'm going into the apologetic side of it because a lot of people I'm finding, I got to take them all the way back to the beginning. Help them to see God, and then we can go on with Jesus. Every thinking person, and that's a qualifier, knows that anything that begins to exist had to have its cause outside of itself, right? Nothing makes itself. Never has, never. Who's often credited with the invention of the automobile? See, we all know that. We don't go, it just popped up out of the ground one day. This person wanted a car and they just grew. Or they took an old stagecoach and some parts and threw in the shed and there was a car when they opened it up. You know, it doesn't happen. The argument I used to hear when I first got saved was if you took all the gears and screws and parts of a watch and put them in a bag and shook them up enough times that they'd fall in place and become a watch. And people were like, that's stupid. I know. Yeah. Aaron, what's going on here?
Sorry.
Duh. No, nothing pops into existence. I don't just... How'd this building get here?
It evolved.
It'd be stupid if we said that. It just kind of rose up, the dirt stuck together. No, somebody had to build it. We all acknowledge that. How'd the roads get here? How did our detailed, vast interstate system get here? Nobody would say it just kind of happened. No, it got built. How can you look at something as marvelous and large as creation and then say it didn't get built? Things don't pop into existence out of nothing and without a cause. The universe could not create itself from nothing. If so, it would have existed before it began to exist because something had to make it. Dan said in the very beginning, you know, first there was nothing, and then there was something. Oh, no. No. It's funny. I love the term primordial soup. As the earth cooled down, it was hot, bubbling, boiling water, and there was these little microorganisms. And they were all just swimming around eating each other and learning. They knew how to poop and eat each other, but and then they slowly began to grow and mutate into things and then into a worm, I think, and then a... Yeah. That was all born out of this primordial soup of perfect things that happened all at one time. No. Now, over the course of millions and millions of years, because that makes everything work. Billions, yeah. 14 billion years ago. And then that crawled up onto the land. It's insane. Some of them grew wings. Their scales got feathers. And it's just, it's insane to really think that that's even a possibility.
There are no missing.
No, just man. They think, because they're trying to make it that way. You're right. Yeah. I'll give you my little joke I always like here. Little boy goes to his mom and says, "Mom, where do we come from?" And she says, "Oh, well, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made Adam and Eve. They were the first people, and then they had kids, and so on and so forth." And he's like, "Oh, okay." His dad comes home from work. He says, "Dad, where did we come from?" His dad goes, "From monkeys. We evolved from monkeys." And the kid's all confused. He goes back to his mom. He goes, "You told me that God made us, and Dad said we came from monkeys." And she said, "Well, he was talking about his side of the family." I love that one. I'm going to end with these scriptures if you want to jot them down. The Bible declares with absolute authority in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Acts 14:15, "We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." I like that one because he says, and I use this, we're both men, right? You and I are both people. It's a woman, it doesn't, we're both people, right? You know, we're no different. Ephesians 3:9, "And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." See, they're always careful to bring that out into their evangelism. Revelation 4:11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." And then finally, Revelation 10:6, "And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, and there would be no more delay." Moving into the end times. So next week, I thought I'd cover all of this. I'm going to begin with the complexity of the universe. How that, even if you want to say the Big Bang happened, let's look at the complexity of the universe, and could that possibly have just happened, or is there a designer involved in that? Some very good talking points. And I have a couple quotes from scientists that you're going to laugh, but I want you to really be like, you got to be kidding. Yeah, they're desperate, okay? So, any questions or anything about tonight? Okay. Yes. Yeah, don't get bogged down on it. Because honestly, we don't know. I even argue with people, say, well, get credit in 7 days, it says right there, but it doesn't say when it began. It just says in the beginning, and I hold it. There's a period at the end of that. In the beginning, God, and I do that sometimes with people, I say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. No. That's a statement by itself. That's how it got started. God created it. I don't know when. So when they go, well, I think it was 14 billion years ago, that's all right with me. I don't really care. Does anyone disagree with that? Mm-hmm. Right. No. So when it comes to the seven-day thing, what's hard for people is just hard to comprehend that. But that's where I always like to go, well, that's the God I'm talking about. A God that you can't comprehend. A God who could do these things. Because the physical was born out of the spiritual. And he has that kind of power. You've ever heard of the omnipotence of God? And they go, no, never heard that word. Or maybe they have. He is all powerful. All power came from him. Do you think he could make things instantly? Not only one animal, but a variety of animals. Because in one day, all the fish were made, the birds and stuff. Not, you know, I told you this before, maybe in this study here, but scientists have looked at Moses' account, basically to them a caveman who wrote these things down, and they go, it couldn't have happened any other way, even in evolution. It was first this, then these animals, then the mammals. You know, the grass had to be there for them to eat. It did have to happen in that order. The guy was either lucky to guess it, or he knew something extraordinary. There's no way a caveman guessed how the world got it, but he wrote it down just like God told him, and it just happens to be exactly how scientists say it would have to happen, just like that. That's amazing to me. And I've used that argument a number of times. And then they go, oh, yeah, because what did you just realize? This has been written for years, thousands. We didn't just come up with this after science told us. He wrote it before there ever was a scientist. That is phenomenal. That's the God we serve. Did that answer all your questions? Curtis? Yeah, the very next verse, 122, says that he has made foolish, I think, the wise or something to that effect. I remember just reading that earlier. Yeah, they're bothered because they don't want that answer. See, if here's what a lot of people are facing. If I believe in God, I am accountable. I'm going to have to answer to him. And I don't want to. I like being a free agent, can do whatever I want, and don't tell me what to do, and uh-uh-uh. And they know, because it says, the Bible says that God put eternity in our hearts. They know they're going to stand before him one day. Inside, they go, I know that's true, I can't stand it, I'll argue with you to the end. When we come along with gentleness and respect, and we begin to counter those with logic and stuff, and now they don't mind much, because you're right, there's no intelligent people that believe in Santa Claus, and I'm no idiot, and you're saying it right, and they can start believing something maybe for the very first time. And then you can present Jesus Christ to them in the most loving way there is. And it's amazing when you do, and you lead someone to Christ, and you go, wow. I mean, I have been worn out. I've walked away from leading people to Christ, and I need to sleep because there's so much that goes into it. But that's what we're called to do. And I'm so glad you guys are coming here for this. I wish the church was packed tonight. I really feel God leading me right now in developing this. This needs to be taught. People need to understand. I'm sick and tired of the church of the past that just bashed people and degraded them because they didn't believe. They can't believe. I didn't believe once. You know, Dan's fortunate ever since he can remember. I didn't. I ran around like one of those people. You would have said, that long-haired pot smoker is going to go to hell. And I'd be like, and we're going to have fun there, because that's what I used to say. Because I was naive and stupid. Yeah. Right, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. They realize they'll be accountable. I can't do this anymore if I believe what you're saying. And, you know, and then we'll get into all this stuff as we get into witnessing for the gospel. But I always like to tell people, you know, my experience. It didn't happen all at once. When I got saved, I'd be like, oh no, I can't do these things anymore. I was like, well, so used to doing them. How am I going to quit, God? And he immediately began to give me strength and power. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, amazing when suddenly the thing you love to do and held on to, you're like, ew. Yeah. Suddenly it's dirty and you are okay with it. You're like, I ain't doing that anymore. So easy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let go, you know. So you go, I don't think I converted either one. You know, last year or sometime I preached on breaking up the fallow ground. Sometimes you just break up the ground. Sometimes you plant a seed. Sometimes you water the seed. You never know what part you're playing in the process. But God is doing all that work. All you're called to do is step up to the plate when the time comes and do your part. Okay, anything else? Let's pray. Father, you are awesome, so incredibly awesome. We are just moved in our inside when we think about how great you are and how in your love you brought us into existence, not for us, but for Jesus Christ. All this is for him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are his and he is ours. So thank you for helping me tonight to bring out these truths. I pray you'd help me to continue to see things clearly and express them vividly, that all my brothers and sisters would be able to understand and remember, most of all, trusting in you to bring them to our memory. Lord, we know you've called us to do a great work in our community, in our families, in whatever circle we find us in. So please continue to equip us to do that work, that we may bring glory and honor to the King. And when we see you one day, all we'll hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you and one another more. In Jesus' name, amen.